Oh, well, I'm sorry for the delay, and I hope that it really doesn't damage it that much. But then, it's a federal holiday here in the United States on this Juneteenth. And I've been listening to the controversy that's been thrown around from the people on the right and from the people on the left. Well, we shouldn't do that. And then this is what's surprising to me. I am listening to an awful lot of black people that are against the holiday for some strange reasons. I don't understand that. I understand where it started. Wikipedia says it began in Galveston, Texas. It's been celebrated annually on this date, the 19th of June, in various parts of the United States since 1866. And the day was recognized as a federal holiday on June 17th, that's this month of this year, when President Biden signed the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act into law. And a lot of people are saying, well, so what? He isn't doing anything for black people. Oh, well, there you go. I'm trying to enjoy the holiday, but but you can read about all of the facts about it. My question is to you is, are you free? Nina Simone singing about brown skin, brown babies, and black folk singing from the depths of her heart. You could feel it in her voice as she sung. And there was absolutely no pretense at all when it comes to knowing that Nina was deeply, deeply moved by what she was singing. Now, the inevitable question is this: were you deeply moved by what you heard? And does the words that she was singing ring home to you? Is it true? Do you feel what she feels? Do you care? I was speaking with a person in business that I had to speak with, and he was speaking about the sudden death of his father during the COVID thing. I think he lost his dad about 6 months ago. And he was telling me that he still yet misses him and that the family hasn't gotten over it. Well, no, you don't. You don't get over a dad that means a lot to you. We live in a different day today when we talk about freedom and what freedom means, because it means different things to different people, and especially to black people. You see, I've never felt like I was a slave. I've been discriminated against a few times in my life, never to the fact that someone has threatened me or brought bodily harm to me. I've never suffered that. But when it comes to the question of being free, I am free. Let me put it to you this way. How can I say it? Oh, I am always under obligation to other people because I live in a society alongside other people. So I would not be able to do whatever the Hades I want to do it anytime I want to do it and in any way that I'd like to get that deed done. I'm not that free to do that. And that doesn't bother me because that means that order is sustained in the society as long as I play by societal rules. I am free to work within that construct. Now, am I recognized as a full human, as a black man or a brown man, as a Negro, as an African American, as a brown man that was born in the northern hemisphere of the United States, born on the land of the red man, the Indians. Father's Day is coming up this weekend, this Sunday, right? Father's Day. See, we thinking about, man, we got all these days. We got Emancipation Proclamation happening in 1962, 100 years after that. I graduated from Fremont High. Now, 2021, a proclamation telling all the slaves you're free. Well, what does that mean? I'm going to read a little history. I like reading it. In Delaware and Kentucky, all right, there was a Union voter of the states in Delaware and Kentucky until December 6, 1865, when the ratification of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution abolished chattel slavery nationwide. In other words, December 6, 1865, the Congress or somebody that was living back there said, no, we got to get rid of this. We can't have. And you know what? Not only was blacks owned as chattel slavery, but whites were. And additionally, Indian territories that had sided with the Confederacy, namely the Choctaw, were the last to release those enslaved in 1886. Celebration dates of 1886, at first involving church-centered community gatherings in Texas, took place. And it spread across the South and became more commercialized in the 20s and in the 30s, often centering on a food festival because, you know, we love to eat. We love to eat. I'm telling you. Participants in the Great Migration of the South carried their celebrations to other parts of the country also, this statement tells me. During the Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s, these celebrations were eclipsed by the struggle of post-war civil rights, which grew in popularity again in the 1970s with the focus of African-American freedom and African-American art. And I recall that time because I was drafted in the Army in 1965, and basically by the Vietnam War, they were letting us sleep in the same billets with white boys because they were sending us over there to have us slaughtered like pigs over there in Vietnam, killing the little yellow man for God only knows what. War, war, war. I remember when the record came out, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. The only person that gains the objective are the undertakers. I know that's right. So, as of 2021, South Dakota is the only state that does not recognize Juneteenth, according to the congressional research. Now, what does that mean? What do you mean? They don't recognize Juneteenth. So they're saying, if you're black and you live in our state in South Dakota, we're not giving you the day off with pay. Okay, and I'd love to hear the reason that they didn't ratify that. I guess they'd have to say, well, we need to celebrate our freedom from chattel slavery. Because, you know, a lot of them were that, a lot of the whites back in the day. Well, North Dakota approved recognition of the Juneteenth on April 13th, 2021. And then Hawaii became the 49th state to recognize the holiday on June 16th, 2021. Modern observation, Wikipedia says, is primarily in local celebrations. Traditions include public readings of the Emancipation Proclamation, singing traditional songs such as Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's a black thing, you understand. And reading the works noted by African-American writers such as Ralph Ellison and Maya Angelou. Well, that's probably why the South Dakotans rejected it. They probably don't have very many black people in the state. I never thought about it. But if you don't have enough people there to do that, why would you recognize it? Everybody got to go to work that day. It's not racism because they didn't recognize it. But I know what people are going to say. They read the works of noted African-American writers such as Ralph Ellison, Maya Angelou. Celebrations includes rodeos, street fairs, cookouts, family reunions, and that's all nice. Park parties, historical reenactments of, you know, the slavery thing to keep it embedded in the mind of our children. And Miss Juneteenth contest, that's nice. Juneteenth is also celebrated by the Muscogees, descendants of the black Seminoles who escaped from U.S. slavery in 1852 and settled in Chihuahua, Mexico. I remember I saw a special on TV about those black people down there. Juneteenth is the first new federal holiday since Martin Luther King Jr. Day was declared way back in 1886. One of my favorite guys is Frederick Douglass, and on June the 5th in 1852, Frederick delivered a speech asking the question, "What to the slave is the 4th of July?" Very good question. I've always celebrated the 4th of July. I appreciated doing that. I understood why it was important. Douglass said that the fathers of the nation were great statesmen and that the values expressed in the Declaration of Independence were, quote unquote, saving principles and the ring bolt of your nation's destiny. Nevertheless, he maintained that slaves owed nothing to and had no positive feelings towards the founding of the United States. And he flouted America and especially the northern churches for utter hypocrisy and betrayal of those values in maintaining the institution of slavery. And well be it, he's right. You know, the Baptist denomination held their meetings this June, and they were supposed to discuss racial issues, and they're divided right down the middle, 50-50, on how they feel about black people. and that's why I'm not a member of any of it. I'm not a member of the band, especially that Christian band, because they welcome blatant racism without addressing it. And if anybody had an ounce of sense, he'd leave that and be free in his worship and his declaration that all men are God's creation, and that you should not even have a debate whether black people should be recognized, whether you affirm the culture or not. And what has become of the black culture is what the black culture has made of itself. Yes. Maintaining it. Civil War and the celebrations of emancipation. During the American Civil War, 1861 to 1865. And that was interesting because the year that I got drafted into the Army was exactly 100 years after the Civil War. In different times in various places in the southern United States, celebrations of emancipation, often called jubilees, recalling the biblical jubilee in which slaves were freed. Well, that jubilee date happens on September 22nd, July 4th, August 1st, and April 6th, and November the 1st, amongst other dates. In Texas, emancipation came late. Enforced in Texas on June 19, 1865, as the Southern Rebellion collapsed because it couldn't keep to that. If you really want to see, I think, a great adaptation of how they treated slaves, watch the movie Django. When Django and his French proprietor was coming into that Texas town, and Django was on a horse. And you saw the way those white people looked at him because they'd never seen a black man on a horse riding like a free man. It was just unheard of. Django is kind of a wild representation, but when it comes to the inhumane treatments that they gave to black people, that's about right on. Like looking at Mel Gibson's The Agony of the Christ, all right? That was the agony of the black man. End of slavery in Texas, and with that came emancipation. And they have a nice map on there where they're showing who owned the slave states. And I noticed that California wasn't even, please, the Indians and the Mexicans had that. Are the Hispanics. Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on September 22, 1862. It became effective January 1, 1863, declaring that all enslaved persons in the Confederate States of America in rebellion and not in the Union hands were freed. Now, you know, they didn't want that to get out to black people, because they wanted to keep that free labor, picking that cotton. All that stuff, I got my history right. Black people have a right to be somewhat upset. And I said somewhat because we're not very far from George Floyd, are we? And I remember what led up to that. Everything's kind of quiet now. But I'm waiting to see. More isolated geographically, planters and other slave owners had migrated into Texas from eastern states to escape the fighting. And that makes sense because them white boys was fighting about, man, you going to take our help from us? Had all them farmlands and everything, and we working it for free. I met some people from Louisiana when I became a Christian and joined my family church. They told me what their occupation was in Louisiana, that it was picking cotton. I was blown out of my mind. I had gone into the Army, got out of the Army. I was a radio teletype operator. I met these people, black people from Louisiana, in the church that I joined, and they told me that their occupation in the part of the country that they came from was picking cotton. And they looked at me like I was crazy when I told them that I've never had a piece of cotton in my hand unless it was a shirt or a pair of pants. They looked at me like I was crazy. See, I was born on this end of the country. All right? So, from the eastern states, to escape that fighting, and many brought enslaved people with them, increasing by the thousands the enslaved population in the state at the end of the war. Although most lived in rural areas, more than 1,000 resided in both Galveston and Houston by 1850, with several hundred in other large towns. By 1865 now, there had been established 250,000 enslaved people in Texas. Can you believe that? Yes, we needed this holiday to celebrate that. Brother, you can say, I'm free at last. Free at last. Despite the surrender of General Robert E. Lee at Appomattox Courthouse on April 9, 1865, the Western Army of the Trans-Mississippi did not surrender until June 2nd. See, that's why Nina Simone wrote that song, Mississippi Goddamn. They were trying to hold on to that. They were trying to hold on to that. Now, on the morning of Monday, June 19th, 1865, the Union Major General Gordon Granger, that's his name, he arrived on the island of Galveston, Texas, to take command of more than 2,000 federal troops recently landed in the Department of Texas to enforce the emancipation of its slaves and oversee a peaceful transition of power. Now, you know there were some white boys with red necks burning about that against their own brothers. This is the national law. You can't treat black people like chattel no more. You can't do it. I think it's a good way to have a holiday. We need to remember what we've been through here. And for the white people that don't think it's necessary, I understand. That's called white privilege. And you're entitled to your opinion. I'm not mad at you. Matter of fact, I don't celebrate Juneteenth. I recognize that. I take a time to offer prayer to God. I may hibachi me a little piece of salmon and have a salad, but that's it. I'm not going to go beyond that. So this emancipation nullified all laws passed within Texas during the war by Confederate lawmakers. In other words, them gray coats that made all them, just like Biden nullified everything that Trump was doing when Biden got in. And trust me, if the Republicans get back in, they're going to nullify everything the Democrats did. Politics. Politics. The Texas Historical Commission and Galveston Historical Foundation report that Granger's men marched throughout Galveston reading General Order Number 3. First at the Union Army headquarters, at Osterman Building, formerly the intersection of Strand Street and 22nd Street. Since then, it's been demolished. In the Strand Historic District, that's where it was. Next, they marched to the 1861 Customs House and Courthouse before finally marching to the Negro Church on Broadway, since renamed Reedy Chapel AME Church. The order informed all Texans that in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States that all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection therefore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. The freedmen are advised to remain quietly at their present homes and work for wages. They are quietly. Can you believe that? You tell these millennials to be quiet when they do that. You're going to have a fight on your hands. Please, I'll continue to read this. It says they are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts and that they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere. In other words, we can't have these Negroes laying around not doing nothing. That's what a lot of them are doing today. Picking up checks and everything else. And whites are doing that too. White and black, everybody privileged in America. I'm not against it. I'm just stating the facts. Longstanding Urban League places the historic reading of General Order Number 3 at Aston Villa. However, no extant historical evidence supports such a claim. On June 21st, 2014, the Galveston Historical Foundation and Texas Historical Commission enacted a Juneteenth plaque where the Osterman Building once stood, signifying the location of Major General Granger's Union headquarters and subsequent issuance of this general order. And although this event has come to be celebrated as the end of slavery, emancipation for the remaining enslaved in the two Union border states, Delaware and Kentucky, would not come until several months later on December 18, 1885, when the ratification of the 13th Amendment was announced. Okay, the freedom of former enslaved people in Texas was given state law status in a series of Texas Supreme Court decisions between 1868 and 1874. Now, they had early celebrations here. This is wonderful. Formerly enslaved people in Galveston celebrated after the announcement on June 19, 1866, 1 year after the announcement, freedmen in Texas organized the first of what became the annual celebration of Jubilee Day. Early celebrations were used as political rallies to give voting instructions to newly freed slaves. And that battle has been going on ever since that. Early independence celebrations often occurred on January 3rd or 4th. In some cities, black people were barred by the Democrats from using public parks. Can you believe that? See, the Democratic Party is not the same party it was today. As a matter of fact, most blacks, when my dad was a young man coming up, were Republicans in this country. So to find all these black people following the left is rather strange. And when you look at our economic systems in our own communities, such as the Black Wall Street, since that's recently on our minds, you see how beneficial it was to be Republican. God bless the child that had his own, that has his own. That's all I got to say. So, black people were barred by the Democrats from using public parks because of the state-sponsored segregation of the facilities. And across parts of Texas, freed people pooled their funds to purchase land to hold their celebrations. And the day was the first celebration in Austin in 1867 under the auspices of the Freedmen's Bureau. And it has been listed on the calendar of public events by 1872. That year, black leaders in Texas raised $1,000 for the purchase of 10 acres of land to celebrate Juneteenth, today known as Houston's Emancipation Park. The observation was soon drawing thousands of attendees across Texas. An estimated 30,000 black people celebrated at Booker T. Washington Park in Limestone County, Texas. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, I wish I could have been there, healthy and all. Established in 1898 for Juneteenth celebrations, attendance at the Limestone County event fell off sharply in the wake of 1981 during the drowning of three local teenagers, that is, while in the custody of a Limestone County Sheriff's deputy, a reserve deputy, and a probation officer. By the 1890s, Jubilee Day was known as Juneteenth. I think Wikipedia does a good job in talking about that. And I don't see anything against it. But at the same time, let me say this, and I know it's going to raise the eyebrows of some of you that listen to me. I don't think that white people owe us anything. The white people today don't owe us a dime. No. I think that what we owe ourselves is to look at history for what it's given. Look at where we are today. Oh, I know. Black people are always asked to forgive and to turn the other cheek and to utilize those, those Christian amenities. I know black people have always been called to do that. But what I'm calling you to do is this. I'm calling you to ask yourself this question. Do you feel free? And free to what? See, I feel free. Free to what? Free to make this webcast on Juneteenth. Free to say what I've just said. I feel a sense of freedom because if someone comes in and kills me, he's a murderer, and he's supposed to kill me. I have freedom to say that. Because in these United States, regardless of what everybody else in my company, in my city, the people around me, in my neighborhood, I'm free. I was speaking with a Chinese friend of mine on Facebook. He lives in Taiwan. And every time I speak to him, I sense this deep, deep depression in him. And the depression is so deep that I find myself trying in every way that I possibly can to let him know that he is worthy of God's love and that he ought to accept God's love in his life and not, how can I say it, and not waste his life trying to be what other people want him to be. I told him today, you don't have to do that. You don't have to. He was saying where his mother wanted him to be a preacher. I said, oh, I can understand that. I recall when it was my time to quit. A man telling me, "You can't quit the ministry." I did. Walk right away from it. "What do you mean you quit?" I said, "Just what I said. I quit. I'm here telling you what God..." You know what? And let me say this. I'm free enough to say this. You got all these men marrying these women, right? And I'm not against you. If you by marrying these women and helping do life with them and make a business with them and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you better make sure that there's only one woman in your life at a time. Because when you got two or three, and I've been seeing some crazy stuff here, y'all need to chill out, because these women will hurt you if they feel they have been hurt. I, to this date, all right, I'm widowed, right? If women come by my house, any woman, I allow my cousin to visit me only when I'm home. My niece can visit me. She's a woman. I have other women. I have daughters. They can come and visit me while I'm here. The only women that can be in my house when I'm not here are my daughters. No other woman is allowed in my house, in my kitchen, making me food or anything like that. I don't want to have the dealings of a woman on my conscience. I had one for 35 years. And I am free. I know that may not sound, "Oh, John, you shouldn't say that." Are you trying to say that when you were with Lucy that you weren't free? Yes, I'm not trying to say that. That's what I'm saying. I was not free. I was under obligation by law in the state of California and by the law of my religion to care and to cherish for and to love the woman that I chose as my partner and to have children with. To love and to honor, to cherish and to obey until death do me part. Now ask me, do I understand divorce and remarriage? No. No, I don't. And if that does happen, what are you to say about the person that you married and divorced? What was that all about? And are you free to leave them and to get with another person? I took the vow. My pastor said to me, "Till death do you part, John?" I said, "I do." And I did not leave Lucy until she left me in death. Now, if you want to know what my feelings are about death, you have to listen to the webcast where I was quoting what Plato quoted about Socrates. The end of your world comes. Your eschatology happens when you die. Because we're going over to the next phase of life. If we are still, if my spirit remains alive after it leaves my body, I am excited about the journey that I would take to go on. I know people miss people, their loved ones, when they pass away and everything, but I am readily excited about my next journey. I'm free. I don't need anyone to write an emancipation proclamation. I'm free. And since I know that I am free, there's absolutely nothing that anyone can do about that. Nothing. My freedom is not contingent upon another man's outline of what freedom is. My freedom is always contingent upon the freedom that God gave me when he set me free. Man, you know, I never hated anybody before I joined the Christian religion. But that's what I loved about Christianity, because it taught that we're to love one another. I recall when I was in the Army and we were mixed in with the white boys. We slept in the same room they were in. Whites, Hispanics, Asians, Browns, everybody. And it was natural to me. It was no big thing. The white boys had what I had. They were what I was. I'll never forget. This was an interesting thing that happened. I was stationed in Korea. I had only been in Seoul about a week, 304th Signal Battalion. And they had the men's latrine. It was a big one. And they had a shower there. And after you got out of the shower, you went up to the sink and shaved. And they had these large mirrors. And it was a brick room. And I recall one day I was at the mirror combing my hair. And this white boy came up to me. And he said, "Hey, John, will you do me a favor?" And I said, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "I'd like to feel the hair on your head." And I said, "Why?" He said, I didn't think he was being racist or anything. He says, "I never felt a black man's hair." And we were in the, you know, in the latrine area alone. And I said, "Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead." And he says, "It's smooth." I said, "Yeah, what?" He said, "I was told that it was like barbed wire." I said, "No." I said, "But any of our hair would get like that if we don't take care of it." I said, "Back at home, I used to lotion my hair. But here in the Army, it's a little bit rougher because I'm not thinking about that." But I didn't feel anything abnormal about him. There was another white fella. We're talking about freedom, right? And his name was, I swore I'd never forget his name, and I have. But it was after Basics of the Faith, and he lived in Utah. Was it Provo? I think it was Provo, Utah, and his father owned a ranch. And he said, "John, are you going, where are you going?" Because we had just finished Basic. And he said, "Why don't you come and spend that week with me on my ranch? I'd like to introduce you to my dad." And because he found it interesting that I could communicate and that I didn't dislike people. Why would this man want me to go to be on a ranch? And so I refused. I said, "No, man, I want to go home. You know, I've been in the Army really about 10 weeks. And then after our two-week break, we had gotten our orders and we had to go either to Europe or to Vietnam or to Korea or whatever duty stations." And so I told him, he's a nice fella. I said, "You know, I really appreciate it, but nah, I think I better go on home." And I remember I had taken the jet, and when the jet landed in L.A., there was about three white boys came up, and they said, "Hey, John, you live in Los Angeles?" I said, "Yes." "Well, can we ride with you? We'll pay for the taxi because we're looking for a hotel." They were looking for a hotel down on Figueroa Street, downtown. And I said, yeah, I know where that is. And they said, well, will you ride with us and so that we can make sure we got to the hotel? Because now these were white boys from the country. And I said, yeah, I feel wonderful to show them the city that I grew up in. Emancipation from what? See, friends, you need to be emancipated in your heart. God has to do that work. God did it in me years before I joined the church or became a Christian. I've always been like that. Like I said on the last webcast that I did, I can read any chapter in the Bible, and I tell you, I've never done these things that God calls abomination. Oh, I've had a few freakish moments, like all of us have. I will admit to that. But I'm talking about lavishly practicing dumb stuff. And I think some of the dumb stuff that people practice is when you fool around and marry a person and then get to abuse that person, or you get with that person of the opposite sex and all you're doing is fighting each other. I have never, and I'm telling you, that has not ceased. I don't know what's causing all of the hot temperature killings in Chicago, but I do know this, and I will say this, that those people are not free. And everybody's talking about, well, what do we do? You know, how do we stop our children from, well, you can't. Because these people have grown up and they have convinced themselves that what you say does not mean anything because what they say has been created reality. Free. Free from what? I had to tell a person today, I said, I won't have this conversation with you much longer, young man. I says, but I know who I am and what I own and my rights. And I'm telling you to get the Hades out of my sight right now. I'm that free to say that. Now, if I lived in a country where if I said that and someone can bind me, shackle me, beat me down, split my head open, then I'm a slave. And I'll be tied to a tree or torn apart by horses until dead. And I would die within the second. And guess what I would be? Guess what I would be after the horse ripped me up? I'd be free. You see what I mean? Freedom is a state of mind, my friend. It is not contingent upon whether the Biden administration calls this a holiday. I was free before Biden was born. And he's about my age. I'll be free long after I'm dead. Don't know what's going to happen to any of my posterity. Have no idea, but I'm free. And I hope that my daughters adapt that disposition and my grandchildren adapt it. All the people that I live around, all the people that I know, I would pray that they might adapt it and so that they might be a better human being. Okay, that's about it. Happy Jubilee Day for you, my brothers and sisters. Put the pig and the beef down. Watch your diet. Watch how much you drink. Be careful of drugs. You shouldn't do drugs. I didn't say a little sativa, because that's good for you. But you have no business doing crystal meth and all that other mess out here that these people are doing just trying to get yourself to feel better. I'll tell you what to do. Look in the mirror and relish in what God has done and know that he that the Son sets free is free indeed.